Yes, people. Welcome to the Property Strategies Podcast.
I know they move that way. Don't make me move that way.
Welcome back to the Property Strategies Podcast. Today, you're with your boy, Kenny. Who else is in the building?
Got your brother, Akin, in the building.
And we've got a very, very special guest with us today, but I'm going to let her introduce herself. Who are you?
Yeah, I'm Stephanie Taylor, and it's great to be here today.
Oh, hey. Great. You know, we're very happy to have you here today. You know, we've been trying to, you know, lockdown dates for a while, but we're happy that you finally come down all the way from Wales,
which guys.
Is not a joke.
No, it's not a joke.
It's a big thing. Hours in
I like this.
But guess he'll be listening to on the way down.
Hey, guys. I mean, you know, I think we're blowing up, guys.
It doesn't take much to make my head big.
If I was a different complexion, you'd see blushing, but I'm quite dark skin, so you don't see that right now.
So we're here today to discuss your journey, really, because this is part of our Women in Property series. We've got a lot of listeners here that are women that would like to hear your story and could possibly be inspired by it. So we thought, you know, let's start, let's go again, and let's see where we go with this one. So if you could just tell us, who is Stephanie?
So I'm Stephanie Taylor. I'm a property investor. And even saying those words,
I'm a property investor.
It's so cool because, you know, I know you guys, you said somebody was teasing somebody on the podcast the other day for being thirsty. Well, I'm adding quite a lot of years on them. I'm adding quite a lot of years on them.
Really? I thought you was 35, but no? Okay. I sneak it in there, yeah.
Actually, my son is 30.
Oh, wow.
I might know him.
Yeah, you might. You might. I doubt it, because he's in Birmingham, so.
Okay.
But he, so how I first was growing up was as a young teenage mom on benefits, thinking it would be amazing. It seemed like a dream to be able to have my own property. Mm. So it just seems incredible now to have a property portfolio.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing we were talking about before we started rolling is that some of you have actually been doing it for longer than I have. I started in 2016.
Crazy.
And in that time, like, I know that you do rent to rent, you've got a course coming out, and we started off in rent to rent as well. And we built that up, and then we started buying properties, and we built up a multi-million pound property portfolio in the last few years.
And
yeah, so it's been
amazing journey.
But
obviously it took us from beginning to end. But I want us to really bring it back and really hear the whole story, because I think when you speak about your humble beginnings, and then you can actually give us like some practical steps of how you've done this, then I think at the end of it, people can actually see, number one, there's no age limit on when to start or start this stuff. You can be, you know, 18 in your 20s, you can be in your 50s. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It's more about just actually starting. So it'd be good to just hear about how you started. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and we can kind of dive in deeper into the journey. So what was your first introduction into property, basically?
Yeah, so I was 45, and that's the other thing that I love about what you guys are doing, because the sooner you start, the sooner you can get to where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And really, learning property and learning other investment strategies, it's the steps to freedom, really are.
That's it.
My life's blown up in so many ways because I've got so many choices now I get up in the morning of what I do.
Amazing.
And also, like, you can feel like you're giving. But how I first found property was, I was quite older in life, so I was 45 when I first came across it.
Yeah.
And what happened was, when I first came across it in a way where I felt like I could do it, right? Obviously I knew that people were investing in properties.
Yeah.
But what happened was, I was, my mum got ill, and one morning she called me up.
Mm.
And I tried to dash her off the phone because I was in a hurry to get to work. And I worked in Bristol at the time, and I had a presentation that day. And I sort of didn't give her a lot of time on the phone, to the point where, you know, when the people start apologizing for calling you.
Mm. Oh,
So
you were that kind of corporate person.
I was just sort of thinking, I just wasn't giving her the time. My mind was in another place. And so I got to work and did my presentation. It all went well. I was sitting at my desk in the afternoon thinking, wow, you know, you did so much better than what you thought. There seemed to be really good engagement.
Mm.
Go you.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh my gosh, what about mom? Oh, and then I just started picturing it. I could just imagine her just waking up feeling a bit.
Yeah.
Just wanting to reach out to get a bit of connection and have somebody say, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I love you. Whatever.
Yeah.
And she got me. And it just made me think, what would I be able to do if I had a different kind of life where I could just, you know, go to Birmingham and be there? And what about if she got sicker and she needed more help? And also, what about if she was well and I just wanted to see more of her? And I just thought, what kind of a life is that? And I realized it was like business or property. And I didn't think I could do business because it just seemed like it was some mystical thing where there's all these people who know stuff that I don't know. But what I did think after I heard about, I started going to property events. When I thought property could be a way, I started going to property events.
Yeah. Did you see someone in property that made you think like property? Was it just always had it in the back of your mind?
Well, it just seemed like it was easier than business in my head. So, because I knew all these people, I just thought, hang on a minute. I know people who accidentally got rich in property.
Yeah, we have a lot of that.
They just bought a house. Yeah. It went up in value and what have you. They took it from there. And I thought, if there's people doing it accidentally who are normal, what I thought of normal people I could relate to, I thought, well, maybe I could do it if I tried to do it deliberate. And so I started getting to these events and obviously I was blown away. You know how a lot of people are. The first time you realise that actually you can get started in this stuff, you don't need to have loads of money to get started. And that's when I heard about rent to rent and all of the other strategies. And I just thought rent to rent was the one that resonated with me the most because I thought, basically, you're managing a property, and I saw lots of people doing it badly and making money. And I thought, I could just do it with care.
Yeah, like, do a good job. You know.
And I think this could work. And I was a bit scared at first, but I just kept that thought: I can manage a property. I can manage a property, and I knew that I would be able to do a good job.
Yeah.
Even though at the time I didn't know anything about how to onboarding your tenants, how to managing an HMO, what all the HMO rules,
regulations and stuff.
And all of that. So it was quite a steep learning curve.
So like, tell us about your first, so was it rent to rent that was your first? So tell us about how you got that, how that went.
And you obviously started the business with your sister as well. Tell us how that came about and then obviously the first deal as well.
Yeah, well, my sister had a different background to me because she'd always been successful in her career and business, and she was working at banks at quite a senior level. You know, where they get paid the big bonuses people's salary. But she was an administrator in the bank. She was in HR. She headed up HR teams and she sort of travelled around the world doing it as well. But a few years before that, she'd taken a step back to have a different kind of lifestyle because she's one of those people who would just work and work and work and work. I mean, she worked ridiculous hours. Like midnight was not unusual for her. And but she'd taken a break. And she decided to take up a career in education. It was as a business manager at a new school, a private school. And but she found out it was a lot less salary, but she didn't have anyone to delegate to, so it didn't work out as well for her. And she'd taken a break to go to Jamaica for a few months and decide what to do next. And luckily for me, it was at that point that I found out about all this. So it was just perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
Because I doubt that she would have left like one of those jobs to join me because she was at a turning point and she hadn't decided what to do next.
So she was pretty open to the idea of something new.
Well, it surprised me because she's a very cautious person and she doesn't have faith in herself. She should do. She should have more faith than me. She's got more evidence than I would have. But she can always see everything that can go wrong. So I was surprised. She just said she was going to come into it 50-50.
That's nice. I'm just doing that movement because I can see there's a nice synergy and balance then between your relationship. You're probably not risk taker person maybe, and she's the more of the balanced risk person.
So
how did you use that to then How was that in your business? But obviously, I want to hear about the first deal, but then
yeah.
I want to know about how that was
in
the business.
It turns out that I'm like the strategy person,
yeah.
but I'm also a person who can make things happen.
Okay.
Sometimes the strategy person is not necessarily the person who can make things happen. But I'm very much on the vision for the business, the marketing, the new ideas.
Okay. Well, sounds like me.
Yeah. But Nikki's about making it happen in terms of delivering it.
Yeah.
To a consistent standard, like.
Got you.
The contracts, finances.
Yeah.
It's quite a high transaction business if you've got a lot of properties.
Yeah.
And a lot of tenants. So we've got bookkeepers, accountants, and all sorts. And she keeps on top of all of that side of it.
Amazing.
No, that's good. It's good to have, like, when you said at the start, you know, you were kind of scared and things like that. It's good to have someone there with you because then if it goes wrong, it goes wrong for both of you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if it doesn't, you know, if it goes well, then, you know, it's been two of you that have made it happen.
Exactly.
It hasn't just been you on your own. You know, you've had that sort of comfort in having someone next to you.
100%.
So, yeah, I think that's, you know, that's what happened with us as well. Like, when we first wanted to do something, it's, you know, just the idea is quite daunting. But then when you've got someone beside you, say, okay, let's both do it. Then you think,
okay,
you know, this might not be so hard. So,
I don't know how people do business by themselves.
Yeah.
Like for every venture that I go down, it has to be yourself.
No, but you know why? It's because they want to say, I did this by myself.
Yeah, I understand.
All me, you know. But sometimes, you know, you having that can actually hold you back.
Yeah.
You can get stuff done at a much quicker pace if you just partner up with someone. You know, so I did like the fact that, you know, you partnered up with you know, your sister, a family member too, at that, because, you know, some people would avoid that, it kind of worked out good for you. So,
And the first deal, how did you come across? Was it through an agent? Was it through landlord?
Yeah, it was an agent. Oh my gosh, I was such a wreck, because people see me now and they think, oh, it's okay for you, Steph. That's how a lot of people start up conversations. Okay for you, Steph, because. I think people think I'm really confident. Obviously, I am a lot more confident now in property than I was because I've got so much experience now.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a confident person per se. And so the idea of going into the letting agency and starting talking and...
Yeah, pitching yourself.
When you look back, it is scary, you know. It really it is scary. Like,
it is.
What was your first experience and how was that?
So I was living in Bristol at the time and working at a bank. And I was coming to Newport at the weekend in Wales, which is about an hour away from Bristol.
Okay.
And I had this one Saturday morning, I had three properties to view with a letting agent.
Okay.
And so we were viewing them. But on the way back, I said something stupid, like,
okay,
I wanted to manage them myself.
Okay.
So she's realised that she's now wasted all of this time going around these three properties with me. I didn't click on at the time.
Oh, right.
But I broke the cardinal rule of relationships, which is... especially business relationships, you're both giving something to each other.
Yeah.
So suddenly she can see that I'm not giving her anything.
So she thought you were there as a tenant, as like a potential tenant. Is it that? Or...
I thought I'd explained what I wanted, but I think she thought, I could tell from afterwards when I look back on how the conversation went, that she thought that the outcome was that she would be managing the properties. Because after I said that's when things went frosty and she never replied to anything again. So I'm sort of now in Newport Town Centre where all the letting agents are, but I'm feeling so, you know, when you really down on yourself and think, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have said that, I should have done this better, I should have done that better.
Yeah.
But I was at the beginning, so of course I'm going to make mistakes. So I'm standing there thinking, I should just get over this, get the train back to Bristol. And then I just suddenly thought, it's like a voice came to me and said, it's like, you know, when there's two of you, there's the one who wants to...
or one shoulder and then the other shoulder.
Yeah, it's the one who wants to stay safe.
Yeah, yeah.
Stay in the cave. Don't go out. It's dangerous out there. Anything could happen.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Anything could happen.
And the other one's saying, you can do this. Go for it, Steph. So I listened to the go for it, Steph. And I think, because I had this like fire in my belly. I describe it as from that moment that I had that thought with mum after that call, I felt like I had a bit of a push. And I also had this voice that's saying, you've got to do it now. It's now or never for you. Because like 45, it's not a spring chicken. And I just felt like you've let everything go past you. Don't let anything go past you now. Everything that's here for you is here for you.
Yeah.
And like what you were saying, Kenny, is that you worry about if it goes wrong. Well, I worried, but then I realized the worst that could happen out of all of it was that it wouldn't work out and I'd get another job. So I wouldn't be any worse off, but I'd know that I'd tried. So I'd still be better off to know that you've tried and give it your best shot. So I having all of that in my mind, I went in there and I asked the woman, have you got any HMOs? And she says, oh no, she says, we don't do any of that kind of thing.
Sometimes I just feel like they don't know what it is either. So sometimes you have to break it down to them. And when they see that the maths works, they're thinking, okay, this might sound too good to be true.
You know,
but it really is what we're saying it is. But, you know, when you talk, I like to dissect certain things, you know, that you've mentioned. And, sorry, my mind just went blank. this happens often, but okay. Oh, yeah, so you're talking about the two voices that you were hearing. And, yeah, no, it's gone back.
Well, I'll just add to it. It's that what I've realised in the last 6 years is that you're successful when you listen to the voice that's future focus and success, and you're not listening to the fear-based voice, which is your most powerful voice. Your most powerful voice. And the reason why it's your most powerful voice is one of our inner drives is to stay alive. It's a strong drive.
Security and safe.
And so that's why it's so hard for most people to be successful.
It makes sense.
And that's why it was harder for me to be successful before. But now I realize actually there's nothing to be afraid of. You know, your inner one's trying to keep you safe.
And it brings me back to the point that I've just remembered now. So what you did is you almost looked at it and then you weighed out your options. You know, okay, if it goes well, we know what could happen. We already know that part. But if it goes bad, what's the worst that could happen? And then if the worst that could happen isn't that bad, why not? You know? So
But I think you're probably downplaying it a bit, to be fair. Because I won't lie, like, even I mean the first rental one I got was 2 years out of uni. And I remember thinking, like, at that stage, like, especially sometimes being from, you know, African household and, you know, I got a graduate job at that time and everything. Like, everyone's happy with me. I remember telling my mum, I'm moving to Birmingham and I'm going to start doing business, property. She just looked at me like I'm crazy. And I said, no, but in my head, I'm 20, I'm in my 20s. Like, isn't this time to try stuff out and stuff like that? So I can imagine you having actually family, a stable job, good income.
I know you're saying that it's sort of like, you know, there's not,
but I think it's so brave of you at that stage to say, actually, you know, I'm going to go for this. You know, don't get me wrong. At that point, you probably have more credentials and you can probably balance it out. But I think the fact that you just went for it at that stage, like, that's really brave. That's the actual brave, because we did it when we didn't really have anything to lose, really. Like,
It was a bit,
we can go back home to parents' house. And
if all fails,
I'll go back to my mom's couch. I think you're probably downplaying it. So I think it's incredibly brave of you at that stage. I think it speaks to those people in that position. You know, probably people out there in their 30s and 40s. Maybe they've just got married. They've got some kids. Like, they're just at a position where it's like, can I still try this stuff out? Yeah. But you're saying still basically go for it. Just maybe, you know, obviously maybe have like a pot to fall back on. But
each person's got their own things. Because obviously I didn't have little kids at that time. My son was a little older and had moved to Birmingham and working in IT. So I didn't have that same responsibilities. And also I can choose what my outgoings are, where I want to live and what my cost of living is going to be. And I can live anywhere I want. So so for me, it just felt like I couldn't not do it. It's the first time in my life I've really felt like this sort of drive and ambition in such a consistent way. Other times it would just come and go. Yeah. But so I went into the agent and I said, have you got any HMOs?
Yeah.
And she started to tell me all the reasons why she wasn't entertaining the idea, yeah. Because they were part of a big chain, a national chain of letting agents.
Okay.
Mm.
And for all of these reasons, they would have to go to HQ HQ would have to say it was okay. Yeah, and so of course, really... contracts wouldn't be okay.
Mm.
But I said, oh, just came to me. I don't know where it came from. I hadn't planned to say this, but it just came to me to say, what about your introduction only landlords? Because some landlords just want tenant find only from the letting agent.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, maybe then if you had any tenant find only landlords, the landlords can see if they want to work with us. And for you, you'll see our work also. Mm. And then you might want to offer it to your fully managed.
Nice.
So and she...
offered the value at that point. You added a value to her then at that point, yeah.
So she immediately started showing me to these two big screens where they had some two HMOs, and we went to see them the next week. It was me and Nikki and the letting agent and the landlord.
Wow.
And it was so funny because I took some pictures, some like snapshots on my phone. And we're both there. You know, I've actually got a clipboard, no joke.
Yeah.
And we go around saying what we would and wouldn't do and how we would change this and that.
Oh,
we
went,
and the landlord was in his 50s. He'd been doing it for over 30 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Didn't really need the money from it because he had a full-time job, which he loved. Yeah. Didn't have any kids.
Wow.
Just liked his life. And he liked the idea of having the guaranteed rent.
Yeah.
And I thought we should offer £700 a month. Mm. You probably won't believe this. This is a 5-bed HMO.
Yeah.
Wow.
He had been previously trying to rent them out at, I think it was £1,400. But he'd knocked it down to £800. Mm. It had been £900, but he'd knocked it down to £800.
He really didn't need the money then, did he?
To try and get people in because there were no students anymore.
Mm. Okay.
And he just wanted a group altogether.
Okay.
Not individuals. Yeah. And he couldn't find anyone. And luckily for us, he'd had a viewing of some like four guys, contractors or whatever. But apparently, according to him, they smelt, and he didn't get a good
You didn't get a good vibe from them.
He didn't get a good vibe.
Okay, cool.
You know, so, smell nice, guys.
Yeah.
If you're going to view, smell nice.
And dress up as well.
You know what I mean?
So that was it. And we came there with our clipboard saying all that we were going to do and that. And he liked the idea of the guaranteed rent.
Okay.
And we offered £600 a month. And I thought, oh, we're never going to get it. The letting agent is just going to laugh at us.
Yeah.
And we'd sent this offer email to the agent to pass on.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I was sitting at my desk in Bristol at the bank.
Yeah.
And I saw my phone going,
yeah.
And I had the agent's number saved, so I could see it was him. Yeah. So I was sort of juggling my phone. I nearly dropped my phone, and I ran out to the area so I could speak to him. And I could not believe it when he said that's it. That's your first property.
Wow.
It's two, because it was a 5-bed and a 4-bed on the same owner. A couple of doors down.
So that's how you got in. Street.
And that is how you
got in.
That's how you got in.
Obviously, I'm going to dissect again because you said some things. Like, so you mentioned that when you had this phone convo or this convo that they weren't so on it, you know, they weren't saying yes straight away, but then you offered something else. And I think that is so important
because
some people might have just heard that and just thought, that's it, and then just dropped the phone. Okay, sorry, you know, and then dropped. But you were still going, you know, you still thought, okay, how can we leverage this?
What can
I do? We know what you don't want, so what can I offer you that you do want? And I just think you doing that, if you hadn't done that, who knows where you'd be today?
I think that's a important point for the podcasters, that the listeners for the podcast is that people think business is about, like, I don't know, like, I've been sneaky and creating situations where you win and nobody else's win. But really and truly, business is about creating win-win situations. And you created a win-win-win one with
and just
the agent.
Giving people value.
Yeah, and giving people value.
Giving people value.
And then you got what you want.
Mm.
And that property, how was that? How did they end up running? Were they good? They still got them?
We've still got them. Obviously, we love that guy because he was the first guy. He knew it was our first properties. But, I mean, I think being in his position...
Mm.
I would give it to us because these two girls turned up.
Mm.
You could see that we really cared about the property, that we were really going to do a good job. And he said afterwards, he could see that we were a bit green. He didn't know if we would last, but he thought that we had, you know, kind hearts.
Yeah.
And I don't think he used the word kind-hearted, but he just thought that we were good people.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so if it went wrong, it would be okay. Yeah, he would just take his property back.
Yeah, yeah.
But he thought he just thought he would take a chance.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a lot of the time, isn't it? That's what we do as individuals, as landlords ourselves.
Yeah.
If you had to decide to give your property to somebody for guaranteed rent.
It's true. Even to a tenant, you need to make sure you get a good feel.
You need to get a good feel.
Yeah.
And the number one thing is you want somebody who you think is a good person, and inverted commas, who's not going to be deceitful or trying to rip you off.
I think, okay.
Do you know what? I was going to say, let's take a short break.
Okay, cool.
And then part two, let's go into, you know, more about the business side of things, how you've scaled up to where you are today. We'll talk about the book and, you know, maybe end with some advice that you have for all of the listeners listening, especially the young women.
Stay tuned
for part two.
Stay tuned, guys. Stay tuned.
Cool.
Hi, guys. It's Akin from Property Strat. If you haven't already, make sure to join the Patreon group. This is where we give you exclusive content. We give you all access to us via our WhatsApp and Telegram group. And we also invite you down to podcast episodes and to come and see our sites and projects. So, yeah, if you guys want to get a bit closer into what we're doing and get to know us a bit more, then definitely join the Patreon. Link in the bio on Instagram and on Twitter and on our website. So get joining. Take care, stay blessed, keep investing.
I know they move that way. Don't make me move that way. Me, I know I sleep for highway. For you cross guys, look at your sideways. Me, I know come look us for child's play.